Well, Jody started off when he dismissed the children, saying that your friends tell you the truth. Well, I'm going to be everyone's friend this morning. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad that we're more than friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And God's really laid a word on my heart. We're all blessed to be in the house of the Lord, and we're blessed to be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm extra blessed because I have some family here, my aunt and uncle right here, Uncle Bill and Aunt Nelda right here. It's my dad's brother. And also we're blessed because Zach's family's here. Kevin and Tanya, and then his mother, Kevin's mother's here. I just consider us family anyway. You know how these things go. Somebody marries somebody who marries somebody else, and before you know it, you're seeing each other all the time. So you're like family to me. So I'm glad that y'all are here. Amen. Well, I want us to get right into the Word, and I want to speak to us this morning about God's ways. God's ways. The text that we're going to be reading from is from Psalms 119. And you don't have to turn here, but I want to read this scripture. It's from Isaiah 55, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's pray together. Lord, we just come before you, and this is your word, and Lord, your word has power. Lord, it has the power to bring a revelation in our heart, and it has the power to expose, it has the power to correct, it has the power to heal, it has the power to mend things that are broken. Lord, only you have the power, God. It's all you, Lord. Lord, we look to you during this time and in the place, Lord, that you've positioned us, in the country that you've positioned us, Lord, in this time. Lord, we want to be your bride, Lord. We want to be one who's wed to you, who speaks the truth in love, and we want to be one who worships you, God. Lord, we just worship you right now in this place, God. Lord, make yourself so manifest, Lord, in this house and in this place. Lord, that your word would accomplish everything that you desire it to do. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I can tell you this, that I have encountered great, great spiritual opposition when I was preparing for this message. In fact, I got so sick this week. I can't remember the last time that I was that sick. The sickest I've ever been in years. I mean, I've been sick before, but it's kind of like, yeah, but the electric company doesn't take doctor's notes, you know what I mean? I mean, we gotta get up and go and get this thing on the road and do this thing, even if you're sick. And I mean, it came on me so quick. Like, snap. I mean, I had class. My class remembers we were in class. I was sniffling. But that morning, I was worshiping, remember? Just fine. No sniffles. By noon, I was in bed. I mean, shut down. I couldn't believe it. I didn't think it was physically possible to shut this thing down. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Come on back. Come on back. We'll get back. We'll get back in line. But, and then But I am feeling a lot better, yes, thank you. I'm not a 100%, but I'm getting very close, very, very close. And so I thank everybody that prayed for me and for everything that was going on. But really, the word that we have for this morning is about an attack. There's an attack on believers. See, really, the place that we are in, we as the people and as the people of God, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, you're really in the middle of a cosmic battle. And you're either on the side of victory or you're on the side of defeat. Can you know that we're on the side of victory in this place? We're on the side of victory in this place. The battle has been won. The word says in Colossians that Jesus made a spectacle over every enemy. That means that he made a show about his victory. And it says he nailed the victory to the cross. He nailed the things that were against us to the cross. And then it says, it uses this word, and it says he disarmed the enemy. Man, that's like taking the bullets out of the pistola. That's like dropping the clip out of the Beretta. They ain't got nothing. Yet, we are living in this world, not of this world, in this world, and we are to be wise. We're to be wise. So much of our New Testament writings is a correction, encouragement, and warning from outside influences and outside attacks that were to come in, trying to come into the church. And that's where we're living at right now, isn't it? There's many attacks. And so as God just began to stir in me, he began to just have me just look at some of the things, see, that are happening in our world right now. See, my urge and my desire is to come to you. The Bible says that we're watchmen. We're watchmen. We're those who give the warnings. We're those who tell people the truth. We're those who are your friend. Amen? Just like Jody was talking about. You know, a friend who doesn't tell you the truth isn't a friend. You know, society that we have been blessed to live in here in America is drastically changing. It's drastically changing. We're not seeing 100-year shifts. We're seeing 10-year shifts in the morals and the values of society. We're seeing 5-year shifts in the morals and the values of our society. Things are changing. Now, one thing's for sure that we've always, and people have always lived in a world that was full of sin. This has been true since the beginning. But now, through God's grace and through the development of history, we have been blessed to be in a country where there was a strong Christian environment. But I'm here to tell you that that is a fading fact. It's a fading fact. And Leslie can agree with me on this, like in England, where she's from. England was a country that was so strong and powerful in the word and in ministers, and it's not that way anymore, is it, Leslie? And so some of the things that are going on in our society are trying to creep into the church. They're trying to come into the church. And I want to speak on a few of those things briefly, but mainly I want us to see what the Word of God says about it. Let's look at this first slide. It's not going to take y'all long to figure out what's going on here. This is the big movement now, not just in America. It's around the world. This would be the homosexual activist. And what shocked me the most is the acceptability that it's finding, not just in our country, but in the church. Now, in the country, it says the statistics are that since 2001, 23% of the country more now approve of homosexual behavior, gay and lesbian activities. So that's up to 63% of the whole country think it's nothing wrong with it at all. And all of these numbers are reflecting back into the church. See, even as few years ago, really, I'm older than me, but it's not that long ago, 1970, it says two men walked into a courthouse in Minneapolis and they paid $10 to apply for their marriage license. The county clerk refused to give it to them. This is in 1970. Obviously, he told them, marriage was for the opposite sex. It was silly to think otherwise. Well, they sued the state court. This was in Minnesota. And they sued and took it all the way to Minnesota Supreme Court. The Minnesota Supreme Court upheld the original dismissal and said, the institution of marriage is from a man and a woman only, and it's as old as the book of Genesis. And that's what they said in 1970. And now we see what's happening today. And it's creeping into the church. It's creeping in, and people are trying to say it's okay and trying to dismiss the... I mean, it's endless how many scriptures talk about this. And so that's not my point, is to deal with that. But it doesn't just stop there. Go to the next slide. This slide. This is a pair of heterosexual people. But this is... We're also dealing with premarital sex. It's gone up. The percentage of our country has gone up in this. Now, it's gone up 15% in the last 10 years. And now, 68% approve that it can be between an unmarried man and an unmarried woman. You know, I was really blessed the other day. Don't want to get political because I don't know everything about all the politicians, so I'm not going to get up here and tout one guy. I think that us as Christians need to vote. I will say that. I think that we're dealing with an issue where the Christians aren't voting. But he stood up there. He's a presidential candidate for this year's or next year's race. And he sat there and said, we have a problem with intercourse out of wedlock. I was amazed about that. I'm like, praise God. And this guy's running for president. I'm like, we're getting somewhere now. Amen. But this is also coming into the church. And the outcomes from this kind of activity are disastrous. And I'm sure many of us, even in this room, have been victims of this kinds of things. Growing up, not married, the couple ends up splitting up, the kid only gets raised by one parent, fatherlessness, motherlessness, any of these amounts of things was not God's plan. Not God's plan. Here's another thing that is prevalent in our society, the next one. Now, if you don't know what she's doing right now, you're a blessed person. It means you have been very protected and you have been very shielded. But what she is doing is she is smoking marijuana. That's what this lady's doing. This is in Denver, Colorado, which is now turned into like a drug haven of the world. Look, there's a guy back there passed out. This is what drugs does to you right here. This is the truth. I'm serious. This is what's really happening. But, see, there is a new liberal generation that is accepting what an old generation knew was not good. They knew it wasn't good. And guess what? They didn't just assume it wasn't good. The facts are there. Drugs destroy your life. They destroy your brain. They destroy your organs. Drugs are foreign to the human body. People need to realize this. I'm going to start preaching about drugs, and that's not what I'm preaching about. Drugs, they have a great, in some cases, medicinal use. This is not medicinal. This is abuse. This is abuse. People take drugs because they want to change something about them. The drugs and alcohol, too. I want to talk about alcohol. Go to the next slide. Alcohol, this is a rave club scene here. This is not where Christians need to be. These places are what the Bible talks about, places of revelry. They are drinking parties. The Bible talks about this so specific. And they're places of drunkenness. This is places where people go so that they can find premarital sex partners. This is places where people go to exchange drugs. This is not a place for a Christian to be at. I'm here to tell you right now. This is not a good place. But this is now finding acceptance in the church. And so, but what I want to preach about this morning is that in the face of all of these things that are coming against us and trying to destroy the people of God. God is saying that in the midst of all of that, see, this is more than just an attack of these things being temptations. Yes, there's temptations. Yes, there's always an availability for someone to go and commit a sin. What's happening is now the outside forces are coming against the people of God and saying there's something wrong with you if you don't believe the way that we believe. It's an additional attack. It's an oppression. And it is trying to say that in some way people that adhere to what the Bible simply says and simply teaches are somehow bigots themselves and people that do not have an open mind and have a closed mind. Well, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Come and get an amen. The Bible shows that we can be blessed by God, that life through the Word of God is not a hindrance. It's really liberating. Life through the Word of God is awesome. I can hear to tell you about it. Awesome. I'm living an awesome life, and it's Jesus all the way. Jesus. There's so much stuff to do out there that has nothing to do with any of this junk. You could fill up your life with all of the activities and all of the glorious beauties of the wonderful majesty of the creation of God and never have to waste 1 second or 1 minute on this trash. I'm here to tell you, you can be free and be pure. Your mind can be free and be pure. You can think clearly. You can have a good life if you just hold on to Jesus. Just hold on. So the text, let's read, is from Psalms 119. This psalm is a psalm where the psalmist is praising God. He's expressing his love for God, and he's expressing his love for, you can go to the next slide. He's expressing his love for the Word of God. And the very first verse says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless." Whose ways are blameless. The New King James writes it this way, if I can find it. I always get mixed up here. It says, undefiled, thank you, there it is. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." See, the truth is that as we adhere to what God is saying, God is doing this so that we will be blessed. That those that are following and not compromising and falling into worldliness and the ways of the world are actually blessed. See, when the Bible talks about the blessing of God, it's talking about God's ability to make things, his creation, fruitful. It's more than material. It's more than the blessing of God is more than, yes, I want to be blessed so I can have things. The blessing of God is the presence of God. The blessing of God is having more of God in your life. God is saying, blessed are those who are undefiled. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless. Verse 3 really sinks it home. It says, they do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. So who says what's wrong anyway? The Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that he didn't leave us lost. He didn't leave us to try and find out what to do. He didn't say, you're blessed if you do what I tell you and then not tell us. He said, you are blessed when you follow these instructions and this thing that I've given you to show you the way. He said, my ways are not your ways. Proverbs 16 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is destruction. See, we have a natural way. We have a natural thinking. Well, you know, that makes sense, right? That kind of thinking. well, yeah, you know, if I just do that, that's okay. But God sees the whole picture. God sees everything. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what is best, and he knows what is best for the heart, for the mind, and for the soul. God knows everything. And he says, if you want to be maintain blessing, if you want to maintain the fruitfulness of a relationship with me, if you want to maintain the things, the good things that I want you to have in your life, do things my way. Don't fight me. Don't resist me. Don't say, well, yeah, what you're saying sounds good, but I've been doing it my way for a long time and I'm not doing that bad. That's not God. That's not of the Lord. The Lord is saying, no, don't resist. Surrender your life to me and you will see what true blessing really looks like. You don't even know it until you follow the Lord and do things his way. You can skip the next slide and go to the next point. Next thing I want to say is that we can truly be truly pure in an impure world. Let's go to the next letter. It's the bet letter. It says in verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. See, God is saying that in the midst, he says it right in the very first verse, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? God is saying that there is a way. It's God's way. It's God's ways. And though they're higher, he reveals them to us. He shows us. He teaches us. Now, this next slide is going to shock you. It's so just revolutionary, the concept on this next slide. It is just blow you away. Man and a woman make babies. It's crazy concept that only God could make it. Amen. Praise God. They can make one baby, two babies, three babies. This dot, dot, dot's for the Fentons. That just, it just keep going. Maybe the Herndons. Maybe the Herndons. But it's silly to us, but this is what's under attack. They either make babies or you adopt babies. This is God's unit. And everything here is made to function properly, physiologically and psychologically. The mother, the father, with the children. This is God's blueprint and design. And when these things begin to get shifted out of place, chaos ensues. Now I'm going to hit you with the stats that are, we'll be blessed if I could find these stats after a next few years. because they'll probably start raiding the internet and totally removing them. But in 2005, the University of Washington and the University of Vermont did a study on sexuality, and their findings were pretty revealing. They found that in their analysis that sexual orientation was was predicted most by victimization variables. I'm using big words because I'm reading them off this page. This is a big word page. It says that they used heterosexual participants. They used LGB, which means lesbian, gay, bisexual participants. And it says that the homosexual reported far more childhood physical abuse, childhood psychological abuse by caretakers, childhood sexual abuse, partner physical abuse, psychological abuse, and victimization in adulthood. Now, are we saying that all homosexuality is because of that? Obviously not. Homosexuality is a sin issue. But what we are saying is this, that it is an abnormal behavior. And what society is trying to do is erase that truth. In fact, it has just been, I just got an email about this, it's just been either this year or last year, very recently, no one really even heard about this, but homosexuality was still considered a psychological disorder. And they have now erased that. And they are taking away funding, and the government is saying you cannot call it that. That you used to could get Medicaid-type help if you wanted help to get free of homosexuality, and they are removing all funding from that and saying, no, we will not do that. There's nothing wrong with this kind of behavior. And I want to say this, whenever we're looking at these numbers and these statistics, what these are the people they're saying are most under attack right now. Kids aged 18 to 24, they're saying are the ones that are slipping, that are saying, well, I used to think that wasn't right, but now I'm not sure. So anyone in here, let me just reassure you, believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. Don't believe the word of man. Don't believe the philosophies of a fallen world. Believe the eternal word that can never change. And it says, earth and heaven will pass away. My word will never pass away. That's what the Bible, that's what God says about his word. This is under attack. This is God's plan. And praise God, because of God's plan, we've got two babies we're going to pray over today and bless them and dedicate them to God because of God's way. Amen. Anyway, we won't get off too much on that. So, let's go to the next one. That's the word of God's being attacked. Okay. Now here's the last thing I want to say about all this. Let's read the letter. It's the Gimel letter. Starts in verse 17. It says, do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. See, God, in the face of all these attacks, in the face of even a society that would, as increasingly try to make even Christian people who believe this way feel like they're believing incorrectly because they have Christians now that believe all these things, God wants us to be a light to this generation. He wants us to be a light. See, God's uncompromised truth will always be the answer. You can go to the next slide, Daniel. God's uncompromised truth will always be the answer. It will never fail to be the answer. And what's beautiful and what's amazing and what's awesome is that we even get to witness in this church, in other churches that are preaching the word, that people that have been beat up, people that have been, their life has been just destroyed by the enemy, come and be restored by a loving and a merciful God. Because people are still searching, even the most, the people that have the most hate and the most anger and the most mocking. See, our Christian life does come with suffering. Christianity involves suffering. But as we suffer for God, we see the power of God unleashed in great ways. In fact, when we encounter suffering spiritual opposition by foes, opposition by people, we begin to see the powers of darkness broken and fail, and people get set free. We go right into the front lines and we bring the soldiers home. Hallelujah. We see that the word of God, the statutes of God, the ways of God, God's ways are the answer, and that will never change. God never promised that he would save a whole society. He said, I will build my church. And we can be assured, that as we hold fast to the Lord, that we will not just experience his blessing. I've got a slide in here. One slide, two slides. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Next slide. We'll be like this lighthouse right here. This storm's raging, but that lighthouse is strong and firm and secure, and it's the light of God. And then God says, guess what? You are the light of the world. He said that about us. See, God is saving people. God is helping people be delivered from all this bondage. I heard this powerful word recently by a minister's name is his name is Carter Conlin, I think is his last name. I know his first name is Carter, and he's now the pastor of Times Square Church. And he said they are preaching the word of God, they are preaching the love of God, and they are preaching the truth. And he said they are seeing people coming off the streets right there in Times Square. He said it would be an atrocity to think that they would stand up there and not preach the truth while all these hurting people are everywhere. And he said where they're seeing people get delivered. Isn't that good? That's the gospel. That is the gospel. we will hold our biblical worldview. That's really the theme and the thrust that God is speaking. Krista, will you come up now? That's really the theme and the thrust that God is speaking. There's an attack, and I'm here to tell you guys that we're under attack the moment we start breathing. We're going to lay hands after we sing a song, Joe. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to lay hands on these beautiful little babies. But these little babies are under attack. But guess what? As the church will never die, the true church of Jesus Christ cannot fail. The true church of Jesus Christ cannot be defeated. We are from victory to victory. Jesus has won the battle. The enemy wants you to feel like he's got the upper hand. Guess what? He's already a done goner, doodadder. He is a done goner, doodadder. And he doesn't have anything on the church. So I want us to sing this song. I forgot to load the lyrics, but hopefully we will know this song. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." And as we sing this, I want us to know that in the face of great spiritual opposition, we stand on the rock that is Christ Jesus. We stand on the rock.
Brother David, you want your Bible? Okay. Our youth pastor. and quite a preacher already. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for truth that will set us free. We started the church. The word hope certainly has been there forever. And we are always glad to put that on the sign. But we said hope and help was our two words that went up first. And to really get real help, it's going to take a transformed life. So we said it's hope and holiness. And one of my pastor friends said, without holiness, there is no hope. Because if God is able to save a person, which means that their sins are forgiven, that they're accepted into the kingdom of God, the children of God, they're part of the church, they're part of the believers, the community of believers. If he's able to do that, he's able to clean as well. And it's wonderful to see how that in the 45 plus years I've been working with troubled people, that God cleans them up. And we don't have to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. They just know that Jesus wouldn't do it. And so they say, I want to be like Jesus. And so there they are. They're forsaking the old and embracing the new. And God gives the power. You see, the grace of God is more than just unmerited favor. It is the desire to do his will. They don't want to do those things anymore. They want to do God's ways. It's the desire to do his will, and it's the power to do his will. And so that's not done by self. We cooperate with God in discipline and obedience, but it's the power of God that allows us to change and to be transformed into the image of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, brother, for a timely and powerful word. Well, this morning we are going to present some children, some babies to the Lord. And this is a plan that God has instituted for us to be able to do that. And it's part of the church. It's part of our tradition. But it's a good thing. And it's biblical. We do not baptize babies because, you know, they'd cry with that water on them probably. But we don't baptize babies because baptism comes after a knowledge of God and a knowledge of sin and a desire to follow the Lord in water baptism. And we do that here too. But we present babies to the Lord with the desire of their parents, the will of their parents. And it's biblical. There was the scripture in 1 Samuel where that Hannah, we have a Hannah here today, Hannah wanted a baby, and she couldn't have a baby, but God gave her this little baby Samuel. And when she got up and said, I want, in verse 19, said, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned to their house, and said that that Hannah was able to get pregnant and have this baby, and she bore this son, and she named him Samuel, because I have asked him from the Lord. And so then they come in and they bring this baby to the temple to live there and to be able. And so I always add that whenever we are presenting a child to the Lord, then it's God, it's your will. It's your will, whatever you want to do with this child. And I know that my four boys, Charlotte and I present them to the Lord. My father actually dedicated all four of those sons to the Lord. And we were saying, Lord, whatever you want to do with them. If you want to send them to the far corners of the earth, Lord, that's your will. Now, that was pretty easy to do that morning. But when you're standing at that airport and you have your son and six kids on that plane and they're leaving and you go back home to an empty house, then it's a little bit different, but it's still the same thing. And God desires that our children are given to him. If we give our children to the Lord, we will train them up in the ways of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The scripture also tells us that children are a heritage of the Lord. It says we're blessed when we have them around our table like olive plants. And so you should have a round table. Y'all got one? You got a round table. And so on. Then we have the fact that Jesus was presented to the Lord. He was, his parents did what was necessary there. And then in verse 22 of Luke 2, it says, and the days of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And you know the story of Simeon that prophesied and said, I have seen the salvation of the Lord before I die, and this is the Son of God. And so we're blessed to do that. I'm going to ask the families to come at this time and bring these precious children, and we're going to present them to the Lord with the blessing and prayers. We're going to be presenting Keturah Lily Juarez and Evangeline Joy Herndon to the Lord this morning, and pray over them. So come on up. Is that Kayla? And she's got her baby? Come on up. Well, we might be dedicating three. How beautiful. Hi. You're mighty beautiful. This is, look at her smiling at me. This is Keturah Juarez. And she's a little older than this one. And this is Evangeline Joy. I wonder why they named her Joy. Come on up, Pastor Philip. Help me. Bobby, help me. Come on. We can just get plenty of space. Y'all kind of need to be in the center, and we can have them come like that. Yeah. You see how important families are? Do you, young ones, want to have a family like that someday that are following the Lord? Come on across. Amen. Pastor Philip, come on up. I'm going to let you do the holding, Grandpa. Dude. G-dude. Okay. Well, let's start with this one. She's the oldest. Okay. I've seen your pictures with her. This is Keturah Lily Juarez. And we're going to present her to the Lord this morning. And you're going to pray over. Okay.
Well, just, it's amazing that someone as young as I am can have grandchildren. But you know the scripture that Pastor Joe read about them presenting our Lord Jesus in the temple when he was just an infant? I read through that a couple of times this week, and such a significance that our Lord went through everything to fulfill all righteousness. It said according to what was prescribed in the law, they presented him to the Lord. But you know, Jesus didn't present anything that day. His parents did. His parents brought an offering. And so as we dedicate these children, what we're really doing is dedicating ourselves. Let's pray. Come on, other grandpa. Well, Father, this morning, Lord, we simply ask that what we do this morning and this day would have a lasting effect. That Father, even as we commit this child unto you, the Lord, that you would receive our offering. That Father, your hand would be upon her as a blessing, day in and day out. And the Father, that you would grant the parents of this child, for Zach and Hannah, give them the ability to live before you as an example of righteousness. The Father, as they offer and live a sacrifice before you, let it pour into this little child for your honor, for your glory, for your purposes. And so, Father, everyone who's involved, aunts and uncles, grandparents, cousins, friends, neighbors, Father, help us to be the example that this child would grow by, into everything that you desire her to be for all of eternity. We pray and believe it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
And we return to the parents with a charge to raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Okay, we got another one here. Oh, go to G, dude. And who is this? This is Evangeline Joy Herndon. Beautiful doll. Thank you, Lord, for this one. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, dude. We present her to the Lord. We pray over her.
Lord, we just thank you for Evangeline, and Lord, we do just present her to you, God, and Lord, present ourselves to you, Lord, and God, Lord, we pray over her life, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would encamp around her, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, you would be a shield about her, God. Lord, a stronghold for her, God. Lord, that from an early age, God, Lord, her heart, Lord, would just be so soft for the things of God. Lord, that she would hear your voice, Lord, from an early age, Lord, and know, Lord, that she is hearing from the living God. Even like the story of Samuel where he said, I'm hearing something, and it was you, God. I just pray that for her, Lord. Pray, Lord, that she would cry out for you, God. And I pray, Lord, that she would be one, Lord, that just stands, Lord, even like we talked about, God. Be a light, Lord, in this world, God, for you, God. Just pray for us, Lord, as parents, God, Lord, and for this church, Lord, and our family, Lord, that we would just unite, Lord, that we would unite together, Lord, to all of us, Lord, would be supporting little Evangeline and be showing her what Christ looks like and be teaching her, Lord, together as a family, as a community. Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're not going to baptize, but we'll anoint with oil. You are dedicated children now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's give them a hand. And we did all that and get out early. Would you stand with me, please? Stretch your hand this way. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Dios le bendiga. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find somebody today and tell them why the hope is within you. In Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you. Have fellowship, coffee, love, all of that. Bye-bye.